There's no one more underrated in any sport right now than Derrick Henry. There's nobody more disrespected than Derrick Henry, and it's all because he wears that ugly Titans uniform and he plays in a crappy division. But ultimately, last night was awesome. It was a real respect Derrick Henry moment. He kicked the ass of arguably the best team in football, the team that everybody said, that's the best team in football. They shut down Mahomes. They slowed down Mahomes. And then Derrick Henry shows up, and they're like, yeah, but we can't slow down that guy. And then next week, we're not going to watch any of his games because he's going to be playing the Colts. Sal Capaccio, Bills beat writer and sideline reporter for WGR 550. What's up, Sal? How are we doing, buddy?
Pretty good. Yeah, he is a beast. It's crazy how big he is and how fast he can move for a man his size, right? It really is incredible. But you know what I find really fascinating about that real quick is, you know, this is not the way to normally win in 2021, right? It's about the quarterback. It's about spreading the ball. It's about passing. And when you see a team that does this and they go, oh, they have this running back, they want to give him the ball, you think, like, what are you doing? Like, you're caught in 1985. At least this team, and I don't think this is the way to win, but at least this team knows who they have in Derrick Henry. They pay him and they feed him the ball, man, right? I mean, like, he's a beast. So, hey, I give him credit for doing that. It's not the preferred model on how to do it, but he's so good. And they say, we got this guy, and we're going to pay him, and we're going to give him the ball, and he's going to do incredible things for us.
Dude, that's exactly what I was thinking last night, too, where I'm like, that to even add to the respect level of how good this guy is, they just say, our identity as a team is that we're the physical team that beats you up with Derrick Henry. And you can have all the fancy quarterbacks. You can all do. I just kept thinking about how I keep thinking his name's Arthur Blank, but that's the owner. Arthur Smith, is it? The former offensive coordinator that went to the Falcons?
Yes.
So Arthur Smith, everyone just.
Arthur Blank, by the way, owns the Atlanta Falcons.
He went for the other Arthur, right? So I just think about how much praise that guy got last year. And not that he shouldn't, but how much of it was just look at the way that he turned around Tannehill's career. Look at what he did for Ryan Tannehill. I'm like, you know what would be the best thing to do? Play action off of Derrick Henry. Because it's like, you know what you have to respect? Play action off of Derrick Henry. And that's not really trying to take things away from Tannehill. I'm just saying the idea that it was this offensive coordinator that shifted things for Ryan Tannehill and no one ever discussed what it would be like playing with Derrick Henry, or very few people did in comparison, is like yet another example of why I think he's the most disrespected player. Also disrespectful at times when he's throwing people around with stiff arms.
Certainly to the Bills.
In pro sports, like, who else comes to mind for you? Who do you think gets less credit for their ability despite being at the very, very top of their field than Henry?
Oh, yeah. I mean, that's a question I have to think about on that one for sure. I mean, look, the other thing is, and to bring it back to this game with him, what you're saying is right. I mean, the play action and all that, but what he forces you to do is, you have to really commit to him, right? So the Bills did that in the second half. They committed more to Derrick Henry, and that opened up the passing game. Mm-hmm. And A.J. Brown did not have a catch in the first half.
Yep.
He torched the Bills in the second half because they had to commit to the run. They had to make sure, and they left him alone a little bit more often than they wanted to, right? So, yeah, that's what he does. If he gets rolling like that, he can force you to alter your game plan, and that's what the Bills had to do. And, you know, give the Titans credit. They did a really nice job, but ultimately, guys, I would say, and look, I cover the Bills. I talk about them for a living, so maybe that's my bias when I say it this way. I think the Bills lost this game more than the Titans won it. There were just a lot of missed opportunities. This was not the same Bills team that I have seen really for the last 4 weeks. They weren't as good on defense. They weren't as good on offense. They still scored 31 points, which should be enough to win an NFL game. But even after scoring 31 points, you say, man, they left a lot of meat on the bone on offense, especially in the red zone.
Do you think it was a little bit of a emotional kind of setback because they had that incredible game at Kansas City? They're, you know, they're back in another primetime night. And do you think they let their foot off the gas a bit, or just they just got outmatched and outworked last night?
It's a great question. And I think a lot of people are having that same debate, and really we're having the debate rolling into the game, which is, will they have a letdown? Here's what I'll tell you about the Bills and Sean McDermott. I think the thing that's really impressed me since he's come to Buffalo in 2017, they're just so consistent in everything they do. They never get too high. They never get too low. You know what you're going to get. They're going to be prepared. They're going to be ready. They prepare every day, whether they lose or they win, and they go back to work exactly the same way. So from that standpoint, I would say no, the Sean McDermott teams don't do that. However, there was a lot of emphasis on last week, on Sunday Night Football. You know, they did a lot of things differently than they didn't normally do, and there was some stuff written about how their offense like kind of was gearing up just for that game to make sure that they could throw some new wrinkles at the Chiefs. We know it was emotional. It's where their season ended last year. So I'm not going to say letdown necessarily. They still had, you know, 8 days to get ready for it. But what I will say is maybe you get back to the office and maybe you don't have quite that dialed in detail to focus and that little extra edge every single time you go out and prepare, because you kind of do have that sigh of relief that you let the air out of the balloon a little bit and you can do that. And maybe that takes a little bit of the edge off. I'm not sure. I think it's a very fascinating psychological question, actually.
Mm-hmm. Do you think it matters at all moving forward that they have, you know, so few regular season tests left, or is this something that they can learn from, move forward and take it as like a little bit of a lesson in how to prepare each week moving forward?
Yeah, and look, I think I'll go back to what I just said about McDermott here, because I think that's been really the genius of Sean McDermott and why they've been so good for the last 4 years. This team always plays in one space, which is whether we win, whether we lose, how we win, how we lose, doesn't matter. We go and we watch the film the same way. We have an honest assessment of ourselves. We correct what's wrong. We look at what's right, and we go back on the practice field the next day. And this team will not do that any differently. They have a bye week this week. They're going to have to sit on this, you know, for 2 weeks. But let's remember, last year, Arizona lost the Hail Mary right before the bye week, right? I mean, the same kind of, oh, my God, like, what a heartbreaking way to lose a game. And then they come out and they play their best football of the season after that. And they were really kind of dialed in and focused. Last night was a perfect example of the NFL, man. It's the NFL, and anything can happen. And the minute you think you figured it out, someone figures you out. The Bills have a very favorable schedule coming up. After the bye week, they have Miami. Then they have Jacksonville Jaguars. Then they have the Jets, three of the worst teams in the league. They should do their business against them and win them. Mm-hmm. However, it is the NFL, and if you don't have that same preparation and focus, you're gonna lose.
Excuse me, the Jaguars have not lost in 1 week.
Mm-hmm. She's right.
That'll be 2 weeks by next week,
because mm-hmm.
they're off as well. How dare you?
Well, you know what? They have that going for them, for sure.
He's a Jags fan. I don't know how that happens, but yeah, that apparently it does. So, okay. I like your guys' spin of, hey, they still scored 31 points, and it wasn't their best game, and maybe it's an emotional hangover. I love the loss going into a bye. I actually think that's better for a team. I have no statistic to back that up. It's just how I feel. I'm like, hey, you go into a bye week, and you've lost, and there's things to go over and to criticize and to break down and to improve upon. It's a lot better than riding high and feeling like you're the team that can't be toppled, that you're the front runners and everybody, and you're reading your hype and buying your hype for weeks about how you're the best team in the NFL. This is my kind of negative spin on it. And I don't want to say negative, maybe that's the wrong verbiage, but my concern, if I'm a Bills fan, is that that team kicked our ass last year. And then in this game, we just really couldn't stop them late in the football game. And I wondered, if the Bills are very much built for shootouts, not that they can't beat the Titans. Of course they can. I think that they're one of the best teams in football, if not the best team in football. But that this whole offseason was, hey, we're preparing to beat the Chiefs. Our secondary is great. Our pass rush is improved. But the one thing that maybe we're missing a little bit is if a really physical team comes in here and tries to punch us in the mouth, we're not as equipped for that.
Good question. I don't know. And I don't think they are super equipped to play these really physical games. That's not how they're built.
Yeah.
But let's remember, they played the Baltimore Ravens in the playoffs last year and did a really good job. I mean, and that was a really physical team, and they wanted to run the ball. And the Bills really prepared for that game really well and had a good plan coming in. So I think they can do it. I think that they can plan for it. But I do think that personnel-wise, they are certainly more geared up to play against teams like Patrick Mahomes and the Kansas City Chiefs than they are against Derrick Henry and the Tennessee Titans. It's going to be a struggle for them when they go against these really physical teams. They're gonna have some issues against some teams coming down the road that have, you know, like the Tampa Bay Buccaneers have a really good front, you know, and that's going to be tough for them. They have to go to Tampa in December, which, by the way, guys, I mean, that might be the only game they're even underdogs in the rest of the year, right? I mean, because their schedule is so favorable. Everything the Bills want is right in front of them. They could still get the number one seed. They're not right now sitting in that spot. They're 4-2 with a few other teams. You got Baltimore at 5-1. There's going to be some scoreboard watching going on over the next few weeks, but we're not even at the halfway point. To your original point, I think it's right. I mean, you'd love to be able to do it all. And, yep, doesn't matter if you want to run the ball or pass the ball or be physical or be finesse and spread it around and all that kind of stuff. But I do certainly think that there's an element of, hey, if a team's going to get really nasty and physical, I don't know if the Bills are super well equipped to play that style of game, so to speak.